words appear. The Meet Me series. More words appear. Brought to you by Whose Blind Life Is It Anyway? Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Meet Me here on Whose Blind Life Is It Anyway? Remember, if you like what you're about to hear, hit that like button. And if you're listening to us live, subscribe to our YouTube network. And if you want, go follow us on Twitter and or on our Facebook page. Additionally, if you can't catch us on those live platforms, we're also on podcasts. We're pretty much on every podcast feed that you can think of, except for Audible. But we're trying hard to get onto Audible, but hey, you know, what can you do? Anyway, the Meet Me Show is what I like to think of as the next generation of the Blind Like Me show. On that show, Phil Parr interviewed many a guest in the hopes that people could listen and possibly feel a sense that they're not alone in this world, going through blind tribulations and issues that others have faced and possibly gotten over. And that's what I aim to do with the Meet Me series. Over the course of the holidays, I conducted many an interview. And some of those interviews went longer than they were supposed to. Either because we just couldn't stop talking or chatting, or we weren't able to cover everything in one sitting, which is possible. Having said that, this is such an interview. There are two parts to this interview. The first part, we talk about Michelle Hilliard's life and what she had to wade through to become the woman she is today. But additionally, Michelle didn't feel we covered some very important topics well enough in the first interview. And so we conducted a second interview dealing with some of the topics that she thought, well, both her and I thought were very important for people to hear, to hope that others who might be in the same situation would listen to this interview. Listen to what awaits you on the other side of the tunnel. And I am proud of what Michelle has become, who Michelle has become, and I can't wait for you guys to listen to her interview. I'll be back immediately after part one to let you know when the show is going to break. But directly after part one, I'll be featuring part two. And while I could just splice the two together, I thought, no, let's do two parts. Let's do two shows out of this. And rather than broadcast the shows a week apart, I'm broadcasting them together directly after each other. So enjoy Michelle Hilliard and her life. Welcome, Michelle Hilliard, to Meet Me. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. So, before we get started, I have to ask you the question I ask all my guests. What is your visual acuity?
I have no vision.
And do we know what that stems from?
I was born with no eyes.
You were born with no eyes?
Right.
Okay. How does one do that?
There was a pesticide back in the 60s and 70s called DDT.
Right.
And my mom was exposed to it, and they think that's why. But the doctor said it could have been that she was exposed to measles, basically so that she wouldn't sue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that was a common thing back then?
Yes, it was. There were other people, in... mostly in Mexico, but some in Texas as well, that were born the same way.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Was it?
And I actually found that out from a pen pal that lived in Texas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And was it hard for your mom to deal with that fact? The fact that she had no eyes?
It was. My dad, well, basically they had a discussion. My dad was like Kiefer. My mom was like institutionalizer. My mom did get used to it eventually. Yeah.
They kind of have to, don't they?
Yeah. Well, either that or they send you away. And well, my dad wasn't having that, so she got used to it.
Actually, we're going to get into that in a couple of seconds. However, I mean, your childhood... I mean, how were your parents treating you throughout your childhood?
They treated me just like they treated the other kids. I mean, I have a funny story. When I was three, I told my parents, and I remember this actually, well, I can't pick up my toys because I'm blind. I can't see them.
Okay.
And back in the day, you still got your behind beaten when you were wrong. And so I got mine beaten. And then he said, now pick up those blocks. And I did.
Well, if you were any kind of lawyer, you would have said, I wasn't wrong.
Yeah, but mostly I was treated like everyone else. My mom changed her furniture around once a month.
Okay.
Because she said that, well, other people aren't going to keep their furniture the same, so why should I? So
right.
She changed her furniture around. I learned to use the washer and dryer at about 7.
Uh-huh.
I did dishes. I put dishes away at a young age. I did basically everything my brothers did. I rode bikes. Well, I rode on the back of other people's bikes. I played outside. I mean, for the most part, I was just like everybody else. I was mainstreamed in school. All that.
That's what I was going to get to. You were mainstream.
Yes.
With a regular school. Now, just so we're clear, your other brothers and sisters weren't born blind.
No, they're all sighted.
They're all sighted.
I have a nephew who has one eye, but they don't know if it has anything to do with. One of his eyes was underdeveloped.
Right.
But they're not sure if it had anything to do with anything or if it just happened that way.
Yeah, yeah. How old is he now?
He is 21, I believe. He's in college. He's doing really, really well.
Does he have a prosthetic or does he use an eye patch?
I think he has a prosthetic. I'm not sure. I haven't talked to my brother in many, many years. So
right.
And my nephew just currently friended me on Facebook, but he's in college. He's studying all the time, so he really doesn't have time for that stuff.
And what about you? Do you have any prosthetic?
I have both prosthetics, yes.
Oh, okay. Can I ask why you chose to do that?
I wanted... Well, actually, my parents chose it when I was 4.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I most of the time had them. There were a few years where I didn't.
Right.
And I just prefer them. They make me look more quote-unquote normal. Oh, please don't say that word. I hate that word.
Right. Okay. No, hey, you know, that's cool. Because for the first decade or so of my blindness, I wore sunglasses because I thought it would make people uncomfortable to look at my white eye.
Well, then, yeah, I've done that, but I kind of think let people look.
Yeah, I mean, at we're old enough now that we don't give a flying fuck what anybody thinks.
Basically, yeah.
So you went to mainstream primary. Were you mainstreamed in high school as well?
Unfortunately. Yes, I was.
So you had a horrible time in high school?
Middle school and high school, for the most part, were dreadful.
Right.
I was bullied. I was called names. People would put things in front of me so that I would hit them, and then when I tried to move out of the way, they would either stand in front of me or put things in front of me.
Right.
And when I would try to move out of the way, they would either move with me or slide things in front of me so I couldn't get through. Yeah. I was basically called all kinds of names. I had people, you know, spit wads at me and put little pieces of paper in my typewriter so that I wasn't typing anything and wouldn't know it. Dancing with their butts in my face. Just horrible things.
And teachers didn't intercede on your behalf?
Well, the first, I don't know, in middle school, basically, I was just ostracized. I had a few friends, but most people just didn't deal with me.
Right.
And in high school, it was actually a situation where the teacher was out of the classroom a lot, and there were five particular students who were bullying me, like, on a regular basis until I finally told the teacher, and then it stopped.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were pretty awful.
Must have been awful for you.
Yeah, and then I moved schools in 10th grade, and there I was basically just ostracized again. I had a couple of friends, but mostly people just didn't talk to me. Mm-hmm. And my senior year, I was put into an emotionally impaired classroom because I also suffer from a mental illness.
Right.
And in the special class, I didn't have a lot of problems in the first school that I went to. But I actually graduated from the school I started out in. And I moved schools, I think, four times.
Right.
And the first school that I went to my senior year, I had a lot of fun.
So you moved schools, was that because they kicked you out or because you left?
No, I left my original school that I grew up in 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to a second school. I failed the 11th grade because I was in the hospital too much.
Sure.
And my second school in 11th grade was good. I was just beginning to make friends when I left.
Right.
And then the school I went to my very first senior year was really good. And then I ended up graduating from the school I started out in. But I was in a special class, so I really didn't interact with a lot of people other than the kids in the special class.
Sure, of course. Were you able to go on to a college or university?
I went to college in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
I was studying, I think it was 2000 and 2001. And I was studying to become a special ed teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I was a 4-point student all the way through the...
Congratulations.
Thank you. The first two classes I took at Jackson Community College in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
The second three classes I took at Lansing Community College in Lansing, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up leaving before the semester was over, my second semester there, but that's a long story.
Yeah. I'm curious. you grew up in Michigan.
Yes.
And do you think it was better in Michigan than in other states? I mean, how do you feel about that?
I think the best state that I've lived in as far as services for the blind is here in Florida. Because at my age, I'm learning mobility because I didn't learn it when I was younger. Long story.
Sure.
And I'm learning, I'm taking a technology class and I'm learning a lot about the iPhone and also I'm just beginning to use JAWS.
Right.
Which is wonderful. I'm very soon going to be entering the workforce for the first time in my life, and I'm 50 years old, but that's better late than never, right?
Yeah, no, of course.
But I find that as far as being blind, the most opportunities have been here in Florida.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, is there a reason you weren't taught orientation and mobility earlier in life?
My mom was really kind of scared of me learning things on my own.
Right.
And I was really, really scared back then of trying new things.
Of course.
When I moved to Detroit and got married and had a family, he was totally blind, but he still walked with me everywhere because, you know, Detroit's kind of a...
Right. You know, well, you, I mean, let's face it, you were mommy's little baby, right?
No, not really. No.
Okay.
I was definitely, I've become a mama's girl later in life, but I definitely wasn't as a child.
Okay, so she wasn't protective of you in as much as she just didn't want anything to happen to you because she didn't want the hospital bills.
No, I don't want to say she was not protective, but right. I think... In that particular instance, she was. In everything else, she was very comfortable with me doing it all. But as far right. as mobility goes, yeah, she was protective in that way.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I wasn't, like, babied. I wasn't, like, mommy's little baby or anything. But in that particular thing, she was very protective.
Right. So, was it hard for you to... Well, I mean, you must have been... for want of a better term, going stir crazy, just left in the house all your life and not being able to go out unless you were with somebody.
Basically, that was only when I was a teenager growing up because, right. like I said, when I moved to Detroit, even though my ex-husband was totally blind, he got everywhere that he needed to go. He was very proficient at mobility.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, and then, so I went, basically, I was still with him when I went places, right. and it kind of was a problem that I didn't know how to go on my own,
right.
But I dealt with it, I guess. As a teenager, I read a lot, well, even as a child, I read a lot of books and listened to a lot of music.
So you were more or less an, quote-unquote, outcast.
Yeah, when I was a kid,
or at least you felt that way.
Yeah, when I was a kid, yeah, I did. Mostly in middle school and high school, not necessarily in elementary, but mostly, yeah.
Right.
I felt like I was an outcast.
Yeah, so it really had no effect on you.
What do you mean?
Well, the fact that you were isolated in that way, that it really had no effect on you in the sense that you have better things to do, like read a book.
It did have an effect on me. I cried a lot. I felt sorry for myself a lot, even though I hate to admit that.
Uh-huh.
But I kept going until I was 16.
And that's what counts, isn't it? The fact
yeah.
that you have to keep striving for whatever makes you happy.
Right. I was a really good student in school.
Uh-huh. Did you enjoy school?
No. I did not. In elementary, it wasn't bad, but I...
Sorry. I shouldn't say that. The better question is, did you enjoy learning?
I did. Yes, I did.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I did.
Because I had a feeling of that, because a lot of people say they may not have enjoyed their experiences, but they did enjoy learning.
Yes, I loved to learn back then, and I still do now.
Right.
And I pick things up quickly, so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have to, I heard a story, and for those who don't know, for our listeners, you and I have known each other for at least a couple of decades.
Yeah.
And the fact is, you used to be really good at, was it knitting or crocheting?
Crocheting. I still am. I'm actually, I've actually just started a business doing that.
And then something happened. Do you want to talk about that?
I had, a disease called Ramsey-Hunt syndrome in 2008.
Right.
And also I found out years later that they think I may have had a slight stroke at the same time, which caused me to become, I walked with a walker for a couple of years, and then I ended up in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
My face is now partially paralyzed. I have a partially paralyzed vocal cord,
mm-hmm.
Which is really bad because I can't sing high notes anymore. And
that's unfortunate. Yeah.
It is unfortunate because I love to sing. I love music. And I used to be a very high soprano, and now I'm more, you know, more mezzo-soprano / alto because of my vocal cord.
That's right, because I know you love Mariah Carey.
I do. I did, not so much anymore, but I did. Mariah Carey, granted. Christina Aguilera was another one that I still love.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I a lot of musicians. I like a lot of music.
So it would have helped if you had those high chords when you love Mariah Carey, because you could sing her song.
Yeah, and now I can sing some of her songs. But
you just have to take it down an octave.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. No, I can imagine. I can imagine. I know a few people like that. Was Ramsey-Hunt something that is genetic, or is that something that was acquired?
Basically, it's if you've been exposed to the chickenpox virus but never had it.
Right.
Your immune system can sometimes cause you to get it, because if your immune system is down and this virus, you can get it that way. That's how I get it.
Well, that's unfortunate.
It's very rare. Very rare.
And is it a degenerative disease or?
No, it basically, it's like having Bell's palsy, which I also had on the other side of my face.
Right.
And shingles at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah. It doesn't get worse. You can get it back, though that is rare, and I have not gotten it back.
Right. So you're dealing with a lot of things holding you back from
Actually, I can walk again. I'm totally mobile again. So I don't have to use the wheelchair, the walker, or the cane. That took a lot of physical therapy and work.
Right.
But I have made it back to... I still fall every once in a while, but not nearly as much as I did. I was hearing impaired as well from that disease. Mm-hmm. But I guess it just kind of regenerated itself.
Really?
Or my hearing got used to the scar tissue. I'm not sure. The doctor explained it, but he used doctor's terms and well. Layman. So, yeah, I do have my hearing back. I do. Right. I can walk again.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk again, which at first my speech was very slurred.
You also had some really beautiful long hair.
I still do. My hair is very long.
No, I remember. I remember seeing it. And you just, I mean, it looked great. It felt great.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I take really good care of my hair. I think that's my best physical feature.
So, do you wear makeup at all?
I am learning right now to wear makeup, yes.
And are you successful at it, or do you
I'm just starting. I had a couple of classes way back in the day. And then also someone else, my sister, my wonderful sister, I love her, tried to show me some things. But back when I was married, my ex-husband did not like me to wear makeup, so.
Right.
And now I'm learning again.
How old were you when you got married?
I was 23, and I was 28, I think, when I got divorced.
Right. And he did a number on you, didn't he?
Yes, he was extremely abusive, and even though he was totally blind, he was very abusive in basically any kind of possible way you could be.
Right.
And that's kind of something I wanted to talk a little bit about, because the police were very hesitant, I should say. They would not arrest him because he was blind. They said to me, I called the police one time, and even though I was in a situation where they could see I had been hurt, they said, well, how can he do that? And he's blind. So then after that, I stopped trusting the police.
So and how did they figure you got a black eye? By falling on it?
I have no idea. They just said, you know.
I mean, thank God right now it's changed a lot. At least I hope it has. I mean, here in Canada.
I hope so, too.
I mean, here in Canada, if there's evidence of abuse, then it doesn't matter whether the person did it or not, he's going to jail.
Yeah. I think in some states here in the U.S. that when there's a domestic violence call, one or both go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that was the case in Michigan. I don't think it was way back then. No.
Right. Were you able to get the counseling and help you needed to get away from that?
I was. At first, it was difficult. I had to search around to find an abuse women shelter that would take me.
Right.
But then, of course, I was the typical abused woman. I would leave and go back and leave and go back and leave and go back. But I finally got help from a couple of shelters in Michigan. And yeah, they were.
I mean, nobody can blame you. I mean, a lot of women feel that way, that their husbands will change at some point.
Yes. And they do, you know, they have the words that they, you know, I need you, I love you.
They're all sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, end my life without you. And yeah, it's the same. And for any blind woman in your radio show that is listening that has been abused, it's possible to get help even if you are blind.
Yeah. Yeah. I've interviewed many a woman that has been able to get out with the help.
Yes.
I mean, up here we have a couple of social services office, like community services office, that have all three services in their location. So they have legal, medical, and social services in that one location. So if somebody comes in and says they're being abused, whether that be a child, a woman, or a man, they can be taken directly to the medical to get them checked out, and then legal so they know their rights.
Right.
Do you have that sort of thing there?
No, we don't. They're all separate. But, you know, you brought up a good point. It's not only women who get abused, men do too. And that's bad. So I don't want to I just don't want to single out the women, because there's men that get abused too, unfortunately.
Oh, yes. Yes. No, I used to counsel all kinds. I mean, it was awful hearing some of the stories.
Yeah.
And the worst part is, the men tend to not think they're being abused.
Yeah, or they feel like it's so sad, because the stereotype says only women can get abused, and that's not true at all.
And not only that, the stereotype also says that they have to be manly about it.
Right, and that's silly.
I mean, God forbid you should show your feelings if you're a man.
Right, right. Yeah. And that's really sad.
Yeah. Were you able to have children at all?
No, I was not.
Right. And that was by choice, I take it?
No. My ex-husband already had children that I took care of as well, and okay. I loved those girls dearly.
Right.
My first wife and I wanted children, but it just didn't. We never had the means for
adoption.
For getting things done. Yeah, and I was also, like I said, my mental illness kind of got worse through the years for a while. Right. And so she, you know, she basically had to do a lot of taking care of me.
Right.
And my second wife was just, you know.
Yeah.
Long story.
I'm going to ask you a personal question, and if you don't want to answer, feel free. Are you afraid that your mental illnesses will pass on to your children? I mean, at this point, it's kind of a moot point, but
I never really was afraid of that. No, I wasn't. It can be. Right. I know families where, you know, it does pass on. I would rather kind of not talk about that.
Okay. No, I mean, that's fine. I just want our viewers or listeners to know that if they want to have children, whether it be blindness or mental health, it's, you know,
anything.
It
well, anything them. Can anything can happen to anyone, including a totally sighted person. So, my thing is, if you're blind and you want children, please go ahead, do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I helped raise 2 children for 6 years or 7 years. And you know, they were great kids. The one has grown up to be a wonderful young woman, and the other one unfortunately passed away. But yeah, they're you know,
were
my
they blind?
Stepdaughter, my no, well, she sees out of one eye, and she has a child of her own, and she's, you know,
yeah,
she's a wonderful woman. I had contact with her for about a year last year. Right. And I really enjoyed, because when I left, unfortunately, step-parents have no rights. So I didn't see them. And in 2021, I was talking to her for that year. And it was amazing, because I loved her so much and I missed her and was able
to... You were able to catch up.
Yeah, I was able to. She decided not to continue contact with me, but that's, you know, that's her choice. And
right.
But I did get a chance to know her, and that made me really happy for a while. I'm sad that she chose not to, but that's, you know.
Was there a reason you didn't choose to get the blindness support earlier, or was this just something you never even thought of?
Because I got some support, you know, but because of the mental illness, I didn't continue a lot of it until now, because the illness is finally under control, and I'm doing very, very well. So
yeah, no, I happen to know that. I mean, the doctors had a horrible time trying to balance your meds.
Yes, it was awful for many years.
I can imagine. Yeah,
and plus the care wasn't as good in many. No, the care wasn't as good.
But I have to ask, do you think that's because of where you were living, or the fact that the doctors were idiots?
I lived in Michigan. I lived in Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin, and in all 3 states. I don't want to say the doctors were idiots, but the medications, they just kept changing them. Every time I went to another doctor, they thought they had to change things, and...
Right.
So that made
which would have made it horrible for you. I can imagine what you went through.
It was horrible. My ex-husband was not supportive at all. He basically didn't want me to take meds because he was afraid somebody might find out.
Right.
My first wife, and neither of my marriages were legal because it wasn't legal yet.
Sure.
My first wife was absolutely wonderful. I would be with her today if she was alive, I think. But
yeah, no, I know. I knew her.
She was amazing.
You guys were amazingly happy together.
Yeah, we had our ups and our downs and our way downs and our way ups, but yeah, we were very happy.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. And the fact is, there is a light at the end of the tunnel for you. Because here you are, you've got a fairly happy life, don't you?
Yes, I am with a man who is pretty good. You know, again, we have our ups and downs, but
sure.
Yeah, he's great.
Right, and there's nothing you could, I mean, there's nothing keeping you from doing anything else you want to explore at this point, is there?
Oh, no, not at all. I'm taking the classes, you know, like I said, the mobility, I am so sorry.
No, it's okay. Hey, I mean, nobody's going to stop you from continuing your life, for Christ's sake. But I was just kind of closing it out and saying that, do you have a link for your business, your new business?
Not yet. I'm basically doing things by phone and just word of mouth.
And are we able to tell everybody your Fillmore name?
I don't use Fillmore anymore.
No.
No, I quit.
You were so dedicated to that.
I know. I quit a long time ago when the system went down and we were still being charged for it.
Really?
I finally lost, yeah.
Oh, wow. So you found, I guess, Facebook groups to take its place?
No, not really. I'm on Facebook and, you know, on that, but it's not. Like I said, it's really, really just starting right now.
Sure.
So it's basically just word of mouth or my phone number or my email address. So.
And can people contact you on Facebook should they have any questions that I didn't think of or if they need advice? Of support,
yeah,
or something,
because
you going through that must have given you some outlook.
Oh yeah, and I had told you on the phone, as a child I had anorexia and bulimia, which
that's right.
A lot of people think blind people can't have because they can't see their bodies. It's ridiculous,
right?
And so, if any young woman is ever, you know, needing advice about that, I am willing. You know, I'm willing to give advice about the mental illness, about the LGBTQ community.
Right.
About,
and I can't emphasize enough that the fact is a lot of people don't know they can get through this without help.
Right. No. And
you know,
and it's possible. I'm a survivor. I've been through hell a few times and back.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on this interview, Michelle. It's been wonderful having you. I couldn't wait to interview you, and I finally got my wish. So now I hope you get your wish, whatever those wishes may be.
Thank you.
Okay, Michelle, thank you so much for coming.
You're-
Personally, I thought that was a great interview. However, Michelle wanted to address some parts that she felt we glossed over in order to emphasize how much they affected her and how much she was able to get through. So, why don't you go to the bathroom, get yourself a drink, something to eat, and I will be right back with part two of Meet Michelle Hillier for your enjoyment. Catch Meet Me every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific on Whose Blind Life Is It Anyway? Till next week.